Apakrishta Chaitanaha, having degraded consciousness, not. Kalaram Maha, passing of time, Bubuday, was aware of, Durajayam, impossible to overcome. Niva day, Nisha night, Iti thus, Ramada by the woman, Parigraha captivated, heavy verse. Queen Paranjani embraced the king, and the king also responded by embracing her shoulders. In this way, in a solitary place, they enjoyed joking words. Thus, King Paranjana became very much captivated by his beautiful wife and deviated from his good sense. He forgot that the passing of days and nights meant that his span of life was being reduced without profit. So, purport by divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word pramada in this verse is very significant. A beautiful wife is certainly enlightening to her husband, but at the same time is the cause of degradation. The word pramada means enlightening as well as maddening. Generally, a householder does not take the passing of days and nights very seriously. A person of ignorance takes it as the usual course that the days come, and after the days, the nights come. This is the law of material nature. But a man in ignorance does not know that when the sun rises early in the morning, it begins to take away the balance of his life. Thus, day after day, the span of one's life is reduced, and forgetting the duty of human life, the foolish man simply remains in the company of his wife and enjoys her in a secluded place. Such a condition is called apakrishta chetana, or degraded consciousness. Human consciousness should be used for elevation to Krishna consciousness. But when a person is too much attracted to his wife and family affairs, he does not take Krishna consciousness very seriously. He thus becomes degraded, not knowing that he cannot buy back even a second of his life in return for millions of dollars. The greatest loss in life is passing time without understanding Krishna. Every moment of our lives should be utilized properly, and the proper use of life is to increase devotional service to the Lord. Without devotional service to the Lord, the activities of life become simply a waste of time. Shama eva ikevala. Simply by becoming dutiful, we do not make any profit in life. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 8, Dharma Aswanastita Pum Sang Mishokseta Suya Nopalye Yivi Rautim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. If after performing one's occupational duty very perfectly, one does not make progress in Krishna consciousness, it should be understood that he has simply wasted his time in valueless labor. This word pramada is further described by Srila Prabhupada in relationship to a verse spoken by Lord Vrishabhadeva. Nunam pramada kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya apunati. Property of pramada, pramada means, Prabhupada described it as prakriti rupena jayate, which means that mada is mad or an illusion. And pramada means still more mad. That's how Prabhupada described that word. Completely mad. And so, nuna pramada kurute vikarna yad indriya pritya apunati. So one becomes mad because indriya pritya, because his senses are dear to him. Just like we're hearing this description here of Queen Paranjani embracing King Paranjana. And it's not that it's Queen Paranjani's fault that this guy is in Maya. Sometimes you find people blaming someone else for being in Maya. Of course, the Christians, they blame the devil. They don't blame their wives. They blame the devil, they say. The devil made me do it. And we say, Maya made me do it. So we're the same as the Christians. Because we have an excuse. Just like the Prabhupada told that story about the king, who asked the sage the question, why is Maya so strong? And the sage, instead of saying anything, he physically demonstrated why Maya was so strong. He ran up to a pillar and he embraced the pillar and he said, let me go, let me go. So we have so many excuses in Krishna consciousness why we're in Maya. We're in Maya because I don't feel well today. We're in Maya because my wife yelled at me. We're in Maya because it's raining out. We're in Maya because I'm depressed. I mean, this is full of excuses. Prabhupada, it's interesting when Prabhupada would deal, and this is an interesting story about Shruti Kirti. And Shruti Kirti, you know, he made some mistake. Actually, he was massaging Prabhupada with different types of oil, mustard oil in particular. And so one day he was massaging Prabhupada with mustard oil, and he forgot to put the lid back on the mustard oil. And while he was massaging Prabhupada, he knocked it over. And Prabhupada chastised him. Of course, Prabhupada actually made him get down on his hands and knees along with Prabhupada and scoop it up and put it back in the bottle. Because Prabhupada was very interested in not wasting anything. But Prabhupada said, you know, why are you so innocent or stupid? What, you know, what are you doing? And Jitagirti said, I'm in Maya. Prabhupada didn't like that excuse. You know, Prabhupada wanted someone to take responsibility for their actions and for their consciousness. I mean, just like now in the modern world, very few people take responsibility. You know, when someone says, well, why did you come to work? I'm depressed. Why are you so crazy? I'm a psychotic. You know, so we have so many excuses without taking personal responsibility for our activities. So it's not that one should blame his beautiful wife for being in Maya. Of course, Chanaka Pandit does say, you know, the beautiful wife is an enemy at home. So it's not that all the ladies should just like pull their teeth out, you know, shave off half of their head, their hair or something like that so they look ugly. But
That's a mundane understanding. Chanakya, of course, has his Niti Shastra, you know, his mundane things. He says a beautiful wife is an enemy at home for several reasons. One reason is that other people can be looking at her. Of course, if we follow the Vedic system, you have your wife in a palanquin all day long. You know palanquin? Like Prabhupada said, his mother, when she would go out, she would be carrying a palanquin, no one would see her. So you should arrange this for the ladies. A car? No, there has to be four men carrying a palanquin and with a curtain on the side. And then she gets out, maybe she'll wear a burqa. You know, burqa? Like that. So, anyway. So that's one reason why it's considered a beautiful wife's enemy. And on another reason is that one can be controlled, as we hear King Paranjana being controlled here. But it's not the woman's fault. That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. The whole fault is indriya pritya, aprinoti. The whole fault is that we want to enjoy our senses. Therefore, we can be bewildered. The men should not blame the women for bewildering them, and the women should not blame the men for bewildering them. It's because you want to enjoy your senses. So what is the solution to this whole thing? Actually, in the early days of the movement, they had a solution. They wanted to send all the women away to Australia. That was their solution. Isn't it? You know that story? I think I told this story before. There was a GBC proposal that all the women and all the grahasthas should go to Australia and leave America safe for the brahmacharis. That was one proposal. Another proposal was that the women shouldn't chant japa in the temple room. And actually, it was interesting. In New York, that's what they did. The women had to chant in the street. It was a real small temple. It was in Henry Street in Brooklyn. I remember I was there. And basically, the temple was very narrow, like as narrow as from, maybe a little wider, from there to there. And so the brahmachari said, you know, the women can't chant japa here. And so they kicked them out. They were on the street, you know, in the middle of the night. Not in the middle of the night. Middle of the morning, like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. These poor ladies were chanting Hare Krishna, you know, as the bums were going by in New York. And so that was another solution. And then I was just speaking to someone who was a member of the Radha Damodar Party. He said, "We were instructed never to preach to women." I said, "Why? They can become devotees too." He said, "Well," he said, "if you make a woman a devotee, you lose your brahmacharis. Every woman you make, you lose one brahmachari." So, I'm just presenting this, and that's not my solution, okay? Don't misquote me. Because I'm surrounded by householders. I don't think there's only one brahmachari. So, and he's an extinct species, almost extinct. So, and there's all sorts of ladies too. So, that's not really the solution for all these things. Actually, one should see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna's servant. And Sarvapadi Vinayavu Dunta, in other words, to understand the Lord is the proprietor and the enjoyer of the senses, of our senses too. Not only his senses, but our senses. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had the wrong idea for a while. He said, "Govinda, I shall not fight." Prabhupada explains in his purport, because he thought Govinda, because one of the translations of the word Govinda is the pleaser of the senses. Also pleaser of the cows. Go could mean senses, go could mean cows. So, Prabhupada explains that Arjuna was thinking that Krishna's business was to please his senses. Which is kind of... Anyway, it was Yomamaya. We don't want to criticize Arjuna. But we think like that. that Krishna's business to please our senses, our wife's business to please our senses, our disciples' business is to please our senses. You know, cook for me, my dear disciple, cook hundreds of preparations here in Fiji. You know, we're thinking like that. But actually, we should understand that our business is to please Krishna's senses. The senses belong to Krishna, rather than to ourselves. And to engage them in Krishna's service. And in this way, we can be with sense objects. I mean, yes, a beautiful wife is one sense object. But also, even opulent food, that's another sense object. Or other, you know, everybody has their own sense object. Someone's sense object may be their mobile phone. Like the kids, they all walk around nowadays with their mobile phones. So the whole idea is Krishna's the enjoyer. Nirmana Mohaja to Sangha Dosha Yavan Nitya Vinigrita Dhamma Dvandvai Sukhaduka Sangya Vajantu Nita Padamabhyam Tat. So this word Amuda is the opposite of Pramada. Pramada means crazy. But Amuda means not bewildered. So if you want to get rid of this bewilderment, then understand. Be free of false prestige. Be free of nirmana. Also thinking that something belongs to me. You think that your wife belongs to you? I mean, there was this interesting story that this couple just got married, approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and said, you know, please give us blessings, Guru Maharaj or Maharaj. Give us instructions. And the instructions given several times this happened, and different things happened. One instruction was, you should cook for your wife and serve her. Can you imagine? You do fire sacrifice. You know, sometimes I perform marriages. And I said, all right, so-and-so, Das and Dasi. So, Das, here's your instructions. You should cook for your wife, clean her clothes. Pretty good, isn't it? Ladies would like that? Yeah. Yeah, they would like it. So, and he took that instruction because he was thinking that she was an object of his enjoyment. You know, like we have this Prakriti and Purusha. So the man is thinking, I'm Purusha. Because the woman is also thinking, I'm Purusha too. I'm the enjoyer. Purusha means enjoyer, not only male. And so Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, yeah, then you should do that. And then another time, he said, you should live separately. You know, I'm not suggesting that. And then after a while, they came back and he said, how are you doing? And they said, fine. And he asked them, what are you eating? He said, my wife is cooking for me and bringing it to me. They said, oh, no, she's communicating with you through your tongue. This is a story about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Pretty shocking. Of course, I don't do that to people who get married. So, the point is to see that you are the servant of your wife. Your wife is the servant of the husband. To serve Krishna, to bring you closer to Krishna. Everything else is violence. Prabhupada defined the word violence in a different way than we normally have defined the word. We think violence means, you know, cut someone's throat. And it is, that is violence too. Prabhupada said violence means to impede a living entity's spiritual progress. Right? So if you are engaging your wife in your sense gratification, your wife is engaging you in her sense gratification, that's violence. You're engaging your children in your sense gratification. That's violence. Because you're impeding their spiritual progress. Obviously, there has to be some sense of gratification. You know, you have to eat. But why do you have to eat a 50-course meal every night? You know, sometimes the men are very demanding like that. Oh, the roti has to be puffed out, perfect, or else they throw it back at their wives. So, Krishna says in the Gita, well, no one can be a yogi unless they have to not eat too much, eat too little, sleep too much, sleep too little. So, mitya hara vihara sha, you know, we have to have a moderate sense gratification, obviously. But the whole point is to see each other as objects of service. Whether you're married, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a guru, to see, how can I serve? That's what it's been. Like I mentioned the other day, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even when his disciples would come and offer obeisances, he would say, Dasos me, I am your servant. I am your servant to help you bring, you come closer to Krishna. And if we have this service attitude, Dasa and Das, you know, that's also spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivaras Mahaprabhu, Krishna Das, Gopi Bharata Bharatamala, Dasa, 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 and Das, then we'll never fall under illusion. We'll never fall under the sway of the bodily senses. We're servants. Otherwise, you will be serving the senses. Like the Prophet said, you can't get out of service or being a servant. So you either serve the senses or serve Krishna. That is your choice. And to serve Krishna means to serve everybody else by bringing them to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, King Paranjana is in Maya here. He's forgetting the passing of days and nights, and he's going to die very soon because of that. So, any questions or comments? Whoops. A message from the internet. Anyway, we're broadcast today. We got a lot of people watching. So, questions or comments? No one should become a father, mother, wife, husband, anything, unless they're capable of Lordeshava, he says. They're capable of saving their dependents from a worshipful deity or a spiritual master, capable of saving their dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So you should think like that. When someone gets married, you think, this is my duty to save my wife, to save my children. And you function as spiritual master. Actually, this position of spiritual master is not just simply unique for someone who sits on a big seat like me and eats a lot of prasadam. It's not. That's not. Spiritual master means that each and every one of us should be that type of a spiritual master, the Siksha Guru, bringing people to Krishna. I explain this to when we're preaching to people and they just come to Krishna consciousness, that I want you to be a spiritual master. To bring people to Krishna. I say, oh, no, I can't do that. I said, well, you have to learn the philosophy first. You have to learn that you're not the body. But you have to learn nectar devotion, nectar instruction, Bhagavad Gita, obviously, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what Prabhupada originally, when he wanted to get people to be actual initiating spiritual masters, he said you have to have a Bhakti Vedanta degree. In other words, know all the Shastras. Because if someone doesn't know all the Shastras, they're not capable of freeing someone from birth and death. But to know Shastras means to function according to Shastra. It means not to simply accept things that are superstitions. I mean, sometimes you find that we were having a discussion on the GBC conference about different things that people do, rituals that people do, and I keep asking the question, where's that in Shastra? And they said, well, I don't know. It comes from South India. I said, well, we're supposed to be Gaudiya Vaishnavas, weren't we? What do we take in all these different little... I mean, just like I tell you the discussion we've been having. One discussion is we're having about before the Rath Yatra, they take the coconut, wave it around three times, or four times, and then the opposite direction. So some people say that we're waving the coconut around to take the evil spirits away, and that the evil spirits enter into the coconut. Uh-huh. And of course the devotee is so enthusiastic to eat the coconut. And other people say, well, the coconut scares the evil spirits away. I don't know what's so scary about the coconut. But anyway, so you got all these different procedures, and we don't make reference to Shastra. That's why, in order to save someone, you have to be versed in Shastra and know the principles of guru, shastra, and sadhu, the checks and balances. You can't just like pull different rituals out of the air and say, this is what we're supposed to do. Just like we have here, you have Pita Paksha and Deva Paksha, right? And then people say, well, during Pita Paksha, we can't worship Krishna. Where's that in the shastra? The shastra vinamusvicha, vartate kamakarata, right? Krishna says in the Gita, if one does things or thinks things are important and they're not in shastra, na param na shikam, na param gati, na shikam, na shikam na param gati. One doesn't become happy, one doesn't reach the ultimate destination. So this is the point. Everything has to be based on shastra. Shastra, guru, sadhu, checks and balances. Not that one... Otherwise, you may be bewildering someone in spiritual life in the name of rituals. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, don't want to get too much into that. So, any questions or comments? We have 5 more minutes to class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, complaints? No? Let's be all enjoy these questions.
Guru has such a big responsibility because like the clouds are created by the sun.
Mm?
The clouds are created by sun.
Yeah.
And no scientific apparatus is there to prove that.
Yeah.
It's sun itself.
Right.
So I can only be told by the mercy of Krishna which comes through Guru. If the Guru doesn't bless us, then it will be difficult.
But we're all meant to be Guru. We have to understand one thing that's very, which I understand from being a guru, you know, and not retired yet. So one thing I understand is that any little action I do with people can either discourage them or encourage them in Krishna consciousness. So we should, when we're dealing with people, which is 24 hours a day, probably, except for when we're sleeping, we have to be very careful in dealing with other living entities. Because the wrong word, the wrong philosophy, the wrong action may actually deviate that person from Krishna's lotus feet. It's a big responsibility to be a devotee. I mean, that's what I say. I'm in a very responsible position. And you are all in responsible positions like that. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're a temple president, if you're an older devotee, it's a very responsible position, isn't it? So everybody, we should think like that. I am responsible for this other person. That's what will free us from the attraction to the opposite sex. It will free us from attraction to this material energy. I am responsible. I'm supposed to be acharya. Acharya means acting nicely, pracharadacha. So I meant, you're all meant to be like that too. You're representatives of Krishna. If you go out there in the street, or if you're doing something, interacting with the public, and you do something improper, it will reflect upon the whole movement. It may discourage that person from ever taking up Krishna consciousness. Like if someone catches you in a lie, that may discourage that person from ever being a devotee. You're doing violence. So we have the opportunity to bring people to Krishna or drive people away from Krishna. That's a choice. So that means each and every one of us, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Urapashta Vegam, every one of us should start. Men, women, because children don't have to do that yet. Children don't have to control their tongue, rather than we're not going to impose that on the children. But any one of us who interacts with other people, we're representatives of Krishna. We're representatives of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a very heavy responsibility, I can tell you that. I realize that, but that's for all of you to realize. So, any other questions? Very many questions. Comments? Nobody ever had any questions here. It's like, either you've understood everything and you're all pure devotees, or you're sleeping. Any ladies have questions? Advaiti, Pranipatena, Pali Prashnina, Sadhya. I guess that verse doesn't apply to the future. Just try to live the truth by inquiring submissively to render service. Yes?
When you come across to such heavy verse, and then you have to preach,
yeah.
And you have to, you are saying you have to encourage people and not discourage them. How do you go about that?
How do you go about that?
Yeah.
You mean, this verse would discourage what, like householders and women and things like that?
Yeah.
But the way I did it, I did it. The way I did it is I don't go the old style of this kind, blaming the women for the men being admired. I say it's everyone's fault for being admired. You know, the person who is responsible, that's what I did. And then I gave the solution. To see everybody as part and parcel of Krishna. I mean, just like if someone, let's say someone is preaching to a beautiful lady or something like that. Instead of thinking, oh, I could enjoy, you're thinking, oh, Krishna could enjoy. I mean, obviously, you see that she's not ugly. I mean, you notice these things. You know, you know, like women, they notice the men are strong and the men have muscles. Because at my age, muscles go down instead of up. So. I try my best, but you know. So instead, you just think that the person belongs to Krishna and they can serve Krishna with their whatever talent they have. Like if we see someone as intelligent, I mean, we're attracted to other things other than physical beauty. For example, intelligence. You know, I'm very attracted to someone who's intelligent. For example, I have one of my dog brothers. He's extremely intelligent. Read Ananda Maharaj. Very beautiful. Brilliant. So I'm very attracted to him. I'm not going to get married to him, but anyway. I'm talking about attraction. You know, I'm attracted to that sort of intelligence, you know, the ability to understand Sanskrit, to analyze Sanskrit and everything like that. And I just think, wow, he's an instrument for Krishna. And other people may get bewildered and say, oh, he's so intelligent. They may find it threatening. You know. There's different ways to relate to someone who has attractive features. Like if a woman is there and she sees someone who's more beautiful than herself, he gets envious, right? That's a natural position, one of the anarchists, isn't it? Kama Krodhaman Matsarya Matsarya. So instead of getting envious, so not only do we get attracted, but we become angry and envious if someone is more qualified than us, isn't it? Like the woman looks at, you know, just looks at another woman, just for makeup. She's actually not. Anyway, so, like Robin said, if you have someone who becomes successful, you may be a high court judge, but he's not going to sell you. Anyway, so instead, we just become happy that this person can engage in Krishna's service. You know, like, I look at my godbrother, Great Ananamaras, it's not nothing, oh, he's more intelligent than me, oh my God. But I'm more devotional. I just think how wonderful it is. And he's engaged in Krishna's service. You understand? So we see things in terms of Krishna's service. There's no envy anymore. But I see someone distributes, but like I have another godbrother, actually godbrothers. Vaisheshika, who's expert in encouraging people to read books. You've heard of him before? And I just think how wonderful it is. So instead of becoming envious or wanting to be like that, you know, then I just like, wow, they're engaged in Krishna's service. So that's the whole point. You see everything in terms of Krishna's service. Then you overcome lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. All these things can be overcome very easily. Just by appreciating someone's qualities and how they can engage it in Krishna's service. Sounds interesting. Instead of just like denigrating people for being beautiful. You know, this is like if I go to a householder's house and he has a beautiful wife, and I say, "You're in trouble, buddy." Shanika Pandit says, "She's your enemy at home." I mean, we can quote from Shanika Pandit. If your wife doesn't speak pleasingly, run your tina ganta yavmita when you talk around. Head for the hills, buddy! Isn't it? You know, you can all these quotes out at people. But the whole point is, how can you encourage people to engage in devotional service? That's all. And that's the way I see people. What can I do to encourage men, women, children to be Krishna conscious? And I have to control my own senses, because if I say the wrong thing to someone, it'll discourage them. It's a heavy responsibility, isn't it?
Sometimes, when I think about
No, that is not proper.
Yeah.
Also, Tulsidas said something very similar. This whole story of Tulsidas. So, we don't. Prabhupada said Chanaka Pandit was not a pure devotee. You know, you can take whatever instructions are applicable and use them, and other ones that are not favorable, don't use them. Of course, Chanaka Pandit also said, what is the use of the son who's neither a learned person? He's the son of urine. He's mutra instead of putra. Oh, how's your mutra today? Little mutra. Anyways, you know, the whole point is how to bring people to Krishna. That's how I think. Whether I'm dealing with men, women, children, I think I'm kind of attracted to Krishna. Because I'm not meant to enjoy them. I'm meant to serve them. That's also me. I am your servant. Just think like that. Whenever you meet someone, I am your servant. I'm not the master. I'm your servant. Krishna is the master. How's that sound? That's easy. Then it's easy. Then we don't have to deal with, you know, the charges. I mean, I know in the past many devotees would use this particular verse and really the brahmacharya would just go, "Jai!" And the poor women are doing that. Oh my God. Send them all to Australia. Can you imagine that? What?
Let us stick to Yudhvairagya.
Yeah, Yudhvairagya. How can someone be engaged in Krishna's service? That's the point. Men, women, children. I haven't figured out how to engage dogs in Krishna service yet. All I know is they keep me up all night long. Did you hear them last night? All night long we had a concert last night. Dog Katak. I was getting ready to engage them in Krishna service by taking some maha water and throwing it out. So anyway, there's certain things I haven't figured out. So I guess we spend now time reading the deities. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki jai. Nice to see everybody online. Rivati Nandana, Sudharma, Axel, Andhashakti, Mayapur, and Vrindavan Chandra. Everyone remembers Vrindavan Chandra?